In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. As you know, I like art history, and so we have a slide from the Vanderbilt University School of Divinity slide library of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever, wasn't feeling well, and then he healed her, and then she jumped up to serve them. Not exactly. The Middle East is full of hyperbole. The point of the story is that he healed her so well that she was entirely ready to go, and she got up to serve them. And in the Middle East, in Judaism and Islam, hospitality is a very essential thing. You take care of your guests before you take care of your own family. That's how it is in the Middle East in Jesus' day and today as well, and also, as you know, in stories in the Old Testament. So I'd like to talk today a little bit about hospitality. You know how we do hospitality here at the church, right? Very friendly church when people come in. It's not God's frozen chosen. You will be spoken to and greeted by probably a half a dozen folks because we are a friendly, loving group here at Nativity. But I'd like to ask, how do you show hospitality in your own life? How do you exhibit hospitality with your friends or with your neighbors or with strangers? And the word hospitality can be a large concept, right? Not just going to finishing school and knowing where to put the wine glass and you set a table and all of that, but what about the notion of having sympathy or empathy for others? To be so open to someone else that their plight hurts your heart. What about forgiveness? Can hospitality be so large that we can put aside our pride and ask for forgiveness when we need to? Can we show hospitality enough that when someone comes to us and asks for forgiveness, that we are able to grant them the grace that God has also given us? Are we maybe even able to exhibit such extreme hospitality that we go to the person who owes us an apology and relieve them of that pain? That we don't wait for them to ask, but that we keep in mind the reconciliation and the coming together of that relationship is so important that we don't want to wait another day. It frees us. I'll talk about that in a moment. What about if you go to, say, a dinner party and there are five other people, so there are six people total? Do we go into that place with more than one-sixth of ourselves so that the community can be one where we don't bluster into something? In the Bible it says, when someone invites you to a dinner party, do not take the place of honor, but sit at the lowest place and then wait to be invited up by your guests to the place of honor. Or the last shall be first and the first shall be last. As we go about our lives creating room for loving God and our neighbor, how does that manifest itself to you in February of 2024, showing that extreme humility? When it comes to forgiveness, my sister and I had some disagreements over the last several years, and I was able to lay aside my pride and to ask for forgiveness from her. And that reconciliation that occurred a few weeks ago is a beautiful thing as we begin together 2024 with a sister that I knew I've always had along the way and the brother that she knew she always had along the way. But I had to lay down my pride. And And I did so, even though for a while it was tough because of a smaller issue that led to a larger issue and all of that, and sometimes issues do balloon up. But I missed her enough to realize the pain that she was in and the pain that I was in. And things are back to the way they were. How many of us have sisters or brothers or children or parents where we need to forgive or to ask for forgiveness? Or business colleagues who stole from us? People who lived a life that was not so ethical, not so Christian. How do we grapple with that in our own conscience? The other thing that, as you heard in the gospel, is that Jesus went around curing people who were sick or possessed with demons and various diseases. What are our own demons? What are the demons that possess us? Because we all have them. Do we know what they are? Carl Jung in psychoanalytic psychology calls them our shadow side. So if you don't like the word demon with a small d or capital D, what about our shadow side? Do we know our shadow side? Do we know what triggers us to be reactive instead of responsive? Where does that disease become a dis-ease in our lives? And we know that we're not perfect, no one is, so when we examine that with a full conscience, with humility, and we try not to repeat those same mistakes, and we ask God for forgiveness, we know that God will forgive us. And as what Jesus said in the Bible over and over, he says, go and sin no more. Try to go and not repeat the same sin. Sin, anything that takes us away from God and God's love, who's always there loving us. God never leaves us, my friends. We are the ones that sometimes turn our back on God. Just like a child, if you have children, you know that their behavior sometimes is not the greatest, but you're still there loving them, caring for them, and then they turn and grow and understand and their young childhood, adulthood. So today we celebrate little Henry Cooper Link, and we're honored to have Father David Cobb and his wife Ruth, who David is now the interim dean of the cathedral in the Diocese of Southwest Florida in St. Petersburg, having living in Sarasota and having come from the University of South of Suwannee, Tennessee, where he was the field education pastor. That's where you do your internships and your externships, and you got all this great knowledge we have, but once you got to learn how to be in the trenches. And before that was in New Haven, Connecticut, Christ Church. And he'll baptize his grandson. So the questions that are going to be asked, and we'll go to the next screen, that I will be asking the parents and grandparents and godparents pertain to some of these D word, the demon, or the shadow side. And it's good for us to kind of be reminded of what was said on our behalf when we were baptized, or if we were adults and remember what we said on our behalf. And the first one is on the screen. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? And there are those spiritual forces out there. The next one pertains to a similar thing. Do we not renounce the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, such as the love of money? That's the big one. The love of power, position. The next one, do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? See, those things that draw us away, that pull us away from God. And then we move into some real concrete questions. in addition to that, do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do we put our whole trust in God's grace and love? Everything. All of us, all of our DNA, all of our faculties, trusting in God's love for us and God's grace, which is freely given. And then the last one there, too. Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And we say, I do. And then we do our own baptismal covenant, which reminds us of various questions that are asked. And so when we have a baptism, it's kind of a reminder for us to kind of re-up our notion of what it means in this wonderful sacrament. And as you know, we normally have a font toward the front of the church there when you walk in the nave, and that's the entrance right into being a Christian, an entrance right into the community as we are baptized or Christian. And the only reason we have it up front is because our cameras, it's easier to see up front than in the back. But normally it would be back there. And that's what the kids are learning about right now in the Christian Children's Chapel Sunday School. A couple months ago, I was listening to our local NPR station, 91.5 KJZZ. By the way, they have great jazz on weeknights at 8 o'clock. Does anybody listen to KJZZ? They had a story about the Church of England. And this, you can find this on theworld.com/sacrednation. And it was about the Church of England and in particular area of Lichfield, England, if you know where that is. And the church started there in the year 669 of the Common Era. And they're interviewing a priest of the Church of England. And I love the phrase that he said. He says that the church blows the cobwebs off of the soul. Church blows the cobwebs off of the soul. And as we think about our own baptismal covenant and what we just went through on the screen, baptism, and a reminder of that, also blows the cobwebs off of our soul, because most of us, except for Henry, were baptized at an earlier time in our lives that we may not remember. So as we try to polish our soul and get rid of those cobwebs and dust them off and remind us of who we are and whose we are, and the baptismal covenant is essentially the blueprint of what it means to be a Christian. And I think that it's important and it's great that we are reminded of this every so often when we have a baptism, because we kind of get in a rut sometimes in our own spiritual life, and we need to have those cobwebs blown off so that our soul can be clean and pure, that we can look within introspectively about what is going on and what are my demons, what is my shadow side, how do I address it, how do I ask God to come into that place through prayer, knowing God will still love me, God will still love you, God will still love us when we begin to grapple of how we can become deeper in Christ. We really don't become into the full stature of Christ until we die and go to heaven, quite frankly. So there's always work to do. And there's the work that we each have to do a little bit every so often, and we're nourished every Sunday when we come here for communion. You know, Jesus mandated that. It's a helpful thing for us to receive here, standing or kneeling before the altar to receive Christ's body and blood into us. There's a healing element of that that we need. I know I need every week to go out into the world and to be a Christian. So today, as we go through the baptismal rite, I invite you to think about what hospitality means to you and your own empathy and sympathy and the notion of forgiveness for other people, and for yourselves, ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. And how we can ask God to come in to help our shadow side, to shrink it and shrink it and shrink it as we get to know more and more of who we are and whose we are, and whose we are is of a God of unconditional love. As the church blows the cobwebs off of the soul, as God blows the cobwebs off of our soul. And to that we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.